For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Greetings. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries, Chapter 16. The Mystery of God. Arise, Kingdom Age. Scriptures. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 9. Isaiah 13, 1 to 12 says, The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see. Lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain. Exalt the voice unto them. Shake the hand. They that go may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord, and the weapons of his indignation, to destroy the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the gold wedge of Ophir. Seek Jehovah, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and it devour, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Ye who turn justice to wormwood, and cast down righteousness to the earth, seek him that maketh Pleiades and Orion, that turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. Jehovah is his name, that bringeth sudden destruction upon the strong, so that destruction cometh upon the fortress. Amos 5, verses 6 to 9. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Matthew 24, verses 3 to 5. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, he putteth forth leaves. Ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all of these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Matthew 24, verses 29 to 36. Three visions. First vision. God held the earth as one would hold a large ball upon his left hand, swung the earth before him to his right hand. The earth passed from his left hand to his right hand. Even the earth hung in the void of space, but filled with the atmosphere of air over the nations. So it passed from the left hand of God to the right hand of God as it continued in its orbit. End vision. Second vision. I beheld the chest garments of the Lord appearing through the clouds with the blast of a trumpet. I beheld the coming of the Lord. I could only see his chest and robe, yet not yet his face, but his coming had begun. End vision. Third vision. I saw the hour and minute hands of a clock. Both hands swept past midnight. End vision. End three visions. The disciples in Jesus' day are just like disciples in our day. The question is always, when? When will this be, Lord? When will you appear? For my walk in this day-to-day testing, I have posed that question many times. When the Spirit of Father moved upon me concerning this paper, I entered into a phenomenal struggle in that the content of this particular Part 6 study on the mystery of God is going to be groundbreaking, not just for something new, but for something expected. When this first came to me in the simplistic way I have my life, the thought overwhelmed me so much so that I asked the Lord several times if I heard him right. How is it, Lord, that you show this unto me, was my question. And immediately after this revelation came, I sought confirmation, but found none. To me, that is very dangerous ground, because a word from the Lord without confirmation is a word that one must test even more stringently, a word that perplexes the mind if you let it, a word that causes one to test their very motivation. Such a word came to me since the last paper unto this paper. It is a word that is scriptural, but not confirmed in present truth to my knowledge. As I wrestled with this word with no confirmation, I asked the Lord to not allow my steps to wander into deception, not just for myself, but for anyone who would want to read these things. As I did, the Lord reminded me of his words to me when I was but a lad of 18, that I would see and speak things not heard before to his body, but would learn to do so in humility. Please know that it is in this humility that I write these things without the comfortable chair of rest and confirmation. Not things of a notion which would lead to spiritual delusion or pride, but a thing of beauty if it is indeed truth in the inward parts, things which will manifest outwardly. I knew after spending some days with this word that the Lord was most earnest that I proclaim it. In my heart and mind, I tried all I could to resist bringing forth this word. I tried to stamp it under my feet, to discard it, to disannul it, even to slightly backslide away from it, all to no avail. The Lord simply gave me to know that it would be well to share it with those who are of the company of his overcomers, they in whom Christ is to appear, they who will enter the eternal glorified state. To bring forth this kind of a prophecy, one must understand that things at times can also become frustrating when a word is proclaimed. One of the jobs of prophets is to declare a word and bring it forth when at times no confirming word preceded it. This can be dangerous ground, part of that groundbreaking word mentioned above. It is like stepping off on the deep end without knowing where the depths will take you. I commented to my wife that prophecy in such a manner without prior confirmation is the most difficult thing I have ever had to do. But when the word goes forth, it gets confirmed. So now I step forward to bring forth this word, which I pray will edify the body of Christ greatly in anticipation of his soon return. In the years, months, and days gone by, there has been many such visions, prophecies, dreams, and words of knowledge concerning the coming of the Lord, and concerning in particular the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Knowing that God moves in such a way that is beyond our minds to fathom, we know that nothing is vain if it is held in balance before one's faith. We had words and prophecies without end about his coming and his soon appearing. Even in my own writings, I have had such things. So I asked the Lord of this, Lord, what of all that you have given and revealed, even in the world of the cosmos, all that has been written concerning signs and wonders of your return? Is it so, Lord? There were words associated with time, words associated with the motions of stars, comets, lights in the heavens, words associated with progress in the Church of God, in the motion of God's Spirit, in the time frame of world history, words concerning the abomination that makes desolate, word after word after word. But still we wait for his appearing. When shall these things be? So then, in simple prophecy, I say unto you that we have entered the age of his kingdom. The midnight hour has passed. The time of his dominion has come. It has come, not just upon this earth, but it is being heralded into the very cosmos itself. You can call this what you like to call it. You can call it the Feast of Tabernacles. You can call it the time of his appearing. You can call it the manifestation of his kingdom. You can call it what you will, but let us call it what it really is. It is the start of the new day of the millennial reign of Christ. Even so, that is what I received. Again, with no other confirmation that I am aware of. There are two things that will happen. One, a light will dawn, piercing this darkness of the midnight hour just past. This light will be a sign unto the nations that things which have been will be no more, and things which have not been seen or known will be seen in realms of peace and comfort and joy for all the nations of the earth. Two, that at the dawning of the light of this day, the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God will happen, each one receiving their glorified body, even the fullness of their inheritance in God and in the mystery of God. When you look around you in the world of men, you do not see much change. You do not see the systems collapsed or the ways of man ended, but it is happening. As I have prophesied before, the shakings of God will take place, the kingdoms man has built will collapse, and anything that remains will be destroyed by the marching of the army of the Lord. Do not be deceived. The systems you see around you in whatever part of the world you live in have fallen under the judgment of God. He is judging them so that man may enter this new day. I will say that again. Do not be deceived. The systems you see around you in whatever part of the world you live in have fallen under the judgment of God. He is judging them so that man may enter this new day. He is removing from them that which is contrary to his eternal kingdom. The nations will not survive this. The people in the nations will, but the governments, politics, money systems, carnal knowledge systems, all of that will not survive. God is shaking this perfectly, even now, past this midnight hour, and he is doing a quick and a short work of it. Man will continue to patch things up, will continue to cover over the problems, but God is blowing the winds of his wrath against all of that. Nothing will be left unexposed. I say all of that in trepidation and fear, knowing that I have prophesied a groundbreaking word. I say unto you, dear reader, that the kingdom of God has begun to be manifested. The Feast of Tabernacles, the coming of Christ, call it what you will, the ordered arrangement for all this to happen is even now happening. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Song of Solomon 2, verses 14 and 15. Do not allow that which is common for a man to become a spoil unto you. For man looks upon the outward world and conditions himself as to what he sees. But the Lord always speaks that which is concerning the promise of his full redemption. The little foxes can spoil the vine if you allow your mind to be overcome with doubt. That becomes to you a gray area, a place wherein doubts about God and the time you're in can be a fox destroying your grape planting. In such a time as this, we evermore need to rejoice that his promise is sure and his coming is steadfast, even at the entering in of this time of his dominion. As to the time frame, I know not how long it will be till outward manifestation will be reality. But I do know that this has even begun. Just as your flesh and the mystery of iniquity in you came to the full, so also now the consummation, that which is fully mature in spirit, will in this dawning day consume that which is of the natural. These things are works of God, not man, his handiwork, a new creation, and it will come to pass just as the dark is overtaken by the light of the rising sun. So when will the actual manifestation of our mortal flesh take place? When will we receive the new bodies which are the fullness of our inheritance in God? When will it be that the army of the Lord will actually begin its forward march to end death and dying in this present world? I say unto you in prophecy that it will be at the breaking forth of his light, at the dawn of the sun, renewed and made new in the brightness of this his kingdom day. At the same time that the army marches, so too will his throne be established upon the mountaintops, and mankind will know that Jesus reigns, and mankind will understand that his reign is all that matters. Do not forget that the day began at midnight. The dawn comes as the light emerges over the horizon, and that is indeed the sign of his appearing. The Lord gave me one thing for each of us to do, which will be of benefit to us in the breaking of this day. For some this may be difficult, for others not so hard. What I saw was that the Lord wants us to take everyone associated with our personal lives and remove them all from our hearts and from our minds. I do not mean we reject them. What I saw was we take them out from our thoughts and from our hearts, setting them outside of our persons. It matters not if they be relatives, wife or husband, children, friends, neighbors, enemies. We take them outside of our hearts and minds, casting them upon the Lord alone, leaving them there. This is part of a sanctification process for the overcomers to do, so that we will all be emptied and prepared for the infilling of his glory. We no longer seek restoration or fulfillment of promise, or that a task assigned concerning another person you set outside of your heart and mind, even if it matters of forgiveness or restitution. We drop it all right here, right now, putting them outside of our persons. That was what the Lord gave me for those who he is about to glorify. Written in trembling and in fear. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.